frequency radio modulation. The big sound from underground. We bring the truth to places truth has never heard before. We bring the sound communication of our tribal war. Dark vision fly by helicopters in the night. Attempt triangulation of our station in the fight. Straight from the base deep down low.
And welcome to this Monday edition of A Public Affair. I'm your host, John Quinlan. On today's show, we're going to have a split show, two different topics, both of them very valuable and very pressing. I think just to preview the second half first, it's actually congruent with the public service announcements you all just heard, and we're going to be talking about the upcoming Fighting Forward conference, which is happening June 12th to 15th here in Madison. This is a response to kind of continuing work in light of the Wisconsin uprising. They're striving for a gathering of working people, community, and labor activists, students, and educators focused on building a revitalized movement in support of labor and working class. And beginning at about the bottom of the hour, around 12:30 or so, we're going to be hearing from Patrick Barrett and also Jackie Picorni and Charity Schmidt, who are organizers of this conference. But first, we're going to be talking about a very valuable project and something I've been following for a number of years, I think ever since Saul Levin got it kicked off more than a decade ago. It's the Madison Area Community Land Trust. And here in studio to discuss this with us is Andy Miller, who's the manager of the Land Trust, and also Lisa Fiala, who is one of the participants of the program. She's one of the home buyers that's participated. And Andy and Lisa, welcome to A Public Affair.
Thanks for having us.
It's good to have you here. Dace, I just want to make sure, I'm not sure if we're hearing the other two. Thanks. Okay. Andy, I think we want to get started by just giving folks a little bit of the lay of the land. What's the concept behind a community land trust?
Well, a community land trust, we're a nonprofit organization, and we, in general, a community land trust is a legal model. There are about 250 community land trusts around the U.S., and a community land trust acquires and manages land on behalf of a community. Often a community land trust will focus on affordable home ownership, but it's really a very flexible model, and a community land trust can really be sculpted by the community that they're in to create, you know, any kind of project that the community might want to undertake that's land-based.
So the concept is to preserve supply of affordable homes for present and future generations. You've already described this is a little unconventional in the sense that the folks who own the home don't own the land as well. But how does that work, and how does that other concept then contribute to the notion of preserving land or preserving housing for future generations?
Yeah, we work with households that make less than 80% of county median income. And we sell homes at lower than market rate. And we actually just sell the home. We don't sell the land itself. The land trust owns the land. And so it reduces by, you know, anywhere from $20,000 to $50,000 the amount that our homeowners have to borrow up front. And so that reduces a monthly housing payment by, you know, at least $150 on up, you know, to $200 or $300 in some cases.
Without getting too legalistic, essentially, is it sort of like a 99-year arrangement or something that has some kind of a time limit on it that is not likely to play itself out in the course of a person's lifetime? Or
yeah, so we have a legal document called a ground lease, which it's a 98-year lease between the land trust, the nonprofit, and our homeowners. So our homeowners, you know, 100% own the land, and it's really day-to-day. It's like owning any other home.
We want to showcase a couple of different aspects of the program. You have a new program that's being unveiled, and we want to describe that as well. I think on the website, I know I've seen houses that are available, at least by extension through the program. But why don't we talk about the first thing first? What is the new program, and how can our listeners find out more about it, participate?
Yeah, at this point, we have about 65 houses throughout Madison. And we've done, you know, it's been both new construction and acquisition of existing houses. Our current funding it's more of an acquisition rehab, so we'll buy, you know, work with a qualified buyer and then search for a home within the city of Madison, and the land trust purchases the land at the time of purchase, and we sell than just the house to the homeowners.
And then the other thing is, I mentioned, you know, I've seen specific houses on there. Are those just part of the program overall, or is that something, a different kind of situation?
Yeah, so currently some of our homeowners are selling their houses too and moving, you know, leaving town or just to a different part of town. So there are a number of houses available that our current homeowners are selling. And the 2013 funding is for new projects, so it's to bring new homes within the portfolio of the land trust. And to really secure, you know, three more affordable houses for the city.
Now, part of this history, something that's received nationwide attention, is one of the projects connected to the land trust, and that's Troy Gardens. Is that right?
Yeah, Troy Gardens is on the north side of Madison. It's a 31-acre parcel there, and it's really a good example of sort of how flexible the community land trust model is, I think. So there, you know, there was a group of residents in the neighborhood, and they partnered with the land trust when Saul Levin was still at the land trust, and passed into the 2000s. So they really had a vision for that space. It was 31 acres of state-owned land that the community was using. You know, there were community gardens there, but people really got organized around when the land was threatened and its future was uncertain. Said, we want to do something. And really create this property in our vision. So they, you know, currently there's the land trust owns the property, and as a result of that process, there's community gardens there. There's an organic community supported agriculture farm. There is a restored native prairie, as well as a clustered housing development, affordable houses.
I had the privilege of helping do a documentary kind of about the recent history of the North Side, the North Side Planning Council, and. One of the things that folks who participated in the project talked about is, you know, land could have had a very different fate. It could have been a high-rise office building, could have been subdivision. But instead, you have this wonderful community garden, preserved wilderness area next to housing that's affordable. And it seems like that's emblematic, though, of the kinds of things you're trying to achieve.
Yeah, really, it's just, I think, a reflection of what the Madison community is capable of, and any community, really, that, you know, has a vision and a passion about a piece of land.
All right. Well, Lisa Fiala, you've experienced all of this firsthand. You're now living in a house that you own with some measure of pride, it sounds like. But what is there about the land trust program, the process that you've been through, that you think might be something that other people would be interested in?
Well, specifically for my husband and I, we had been living in Madison Community Cooperatives for a number of years. Uh-huh. And through that experience, we wanted to remain living in a community or living somewhat in a community type of format, and we heard about Troy Farms or Troy Housing up on the north side and looked into that, and all those spaces were filled, but found out that there were other options available. So there weren't any, I think at that time, current built houses that were open, but found out that there was the possibility for a new build to take place. And so, and finding out that was a part of the land trust, we were really excited to be a part of a community on that level as well. So we got to sit in on taking a look at the layout of the house and what that would look like, and working with Operation Fresh Start in terms of building a place. And so working with the community on a lot of different levels through AmeriCorps, through the Land Trust, and then learning about our neighborhood as well.
Are there aspects of this process that might let's play both sides, but maybe a little more elaborate, but also maybe a little more streamlined, a little easier for someone who's looking for a new place?
For us, it was an incredibly easy process. It's just nice to know that there is another option for affordable housing in Madison, and that just working with the land trust was super friendly.
And as Andy was alluding to, because you're not buying the land,
right.
Also something that's more accessible, more approachable.
Yes. Yeah.
May I ask, what part of town you're living in?
We're in the southeast side of town.
Okay, and is it in fact sort of a communitarian type setup, or is it a standalone property? Or
it is a standalone property. It used to be an old apple orchard at one point, and that's been divided up by the land trust. And so our neighbor also is a land trust property, and so through that, we're creating our own type of community among our neighbors.
All right. Andy, could you... Actually, we touched on this briefly, but This is something that's part of a national movement. I'd mentioned Saul Levin earlier, who was a pioneer in the area of housing in many different ways. But I think it's safe to say that Madison and the Madison Area Community Land Trust have really been pioneers and been on the cutting edge of this movement. Is that right?
It is true. We were founded in 1990. The land trust movement, community land trust movement, really has roots that go way back. In the early 1900s in England, there were these developments called garden cities where there was housing sort of encircled by orchards and vegetable gardens. And the first prototype CLT in the U.S. Was founded outside of Albany, Georgia, during the sort of came out of the civil rights movement. African American farmers just needed secure access to land, and in 1970 they were able to purchase 5,000 acres, and that sort of and the land was leased to individual farmers, but it was owned by a cooperative. So that's kind of the first community land trust. And then in the last 40 plus years, the model has spread across the U.S. and it's even become an international movement: Australia, England.
And it's a movement that's connected to related innovative ways of doing things, cooperatives, co-housing, other things. Is that right?
Yeah, Troy Gardens actually is a co-housing development, and it's designed in a way that encourages the neighbors to really interact and kind of be a part of each other's lives. You know, there aren't separate driveways and garages. The parking is structured in a way that, you know, you need to walk by your neighbor's porch on your way home, and they're focused toward a central courtyard area. So it's just, and I think that was a reflection, again, of Madison and the things that people here are interested in, and there's a market for developments like that. So it was great that the land trust could be the tool to sort of deliver that project.
Folks who, you know, see the bigger picture are concerned about homelessness, about, you know, rising rents, other things. Is clearly tied to part of the solution in your mind?
Yeah, absolutely. So our housing model, we allow our homeowners when they go to sell the house to collect part of the appreciation, and the other chunk of the appreciation goes to the next buyer. So that, you know, it just preserves forever. Our ground leases are 98 years, and that's a renewable lease. So that resale formula is in the ground lease. And the good deal sort of gets passed on through the generations of home buyers.
All right. If you're just joining us, we're here in studio with Andy Miller. He's the manager of the Madison Area Community Land Trust. Also speaking with Lisa Fiala, who is a program participant, someone who purchased a home through this program. And we invite your participation at 608-256-2001. If you've been a part of this program, or if you have additional questions in terms of finding out about things, please give us a call. Again, 608-256-2001 is the number here. We've alluded to this, and actually I'll let you take it if you have a couple other things you want to do, but I just wanted to sort of at some point walk people through the process, give them an expectation from beginning to end, what this is all about.
Yeah, that's great. I thought I would just go into a little more detail about the current opportunities that we have in the process of getting into a land trust house.
All right.
So we work with families that are that make less than 80% of county median income. So for a household of one, it's about $45,000 per year. A household of four, you could make up to approximately $64,400. So the basic steps, you know, once we establish that you're a qualified buyer, we'll work with you to locate a house that, you know, is in the neighborhood that you want to live in, and is close to amenities that you're interested in, you know, we'll make the offer, and the land trust buys the land. You buy the home, we enter into the ground lease.
So just to punctuate, but you know, based on some of the figures you're talking about, I think often when you're thinking about affordable housing programs, say in the context of federal programs, subsidized housing, there's housing for very low income people, some housing opportunities for middle income, but it sounds like For folks, both of those ranges, including the middle class, this is something that's very practical.
Yeah, absolutely. And other things that we look at, just to get into a little more detail, you know, we make sure that you do need to qualify for a mortgage to purchase a land trust house. So you want to have good credit, and you can't have a lot of other household debt as well, because we want to make sure that people are getting into homes and are successful homeowners. So we just don't want to get people into situations where they, you know, where they couldn't afford.
And I know from experience, I mean, explored this process myself, that sometimes when you're not necessarily at that place in the beginning of the process, you guys are there along the way, again, you know, helping figure out the steps to getting the credit rating more solid and some of the other preparations that are necessary. Is that right?
Yeah, so we do some counseling within the land trust, and we also refer people to first-time homebuyer classes. And then after you purchase a land trust house, we're there as a resource to help, you know, with anything that comes along. If you want to do improvements to your house or a remodel, we can help you connect with resources. We have events through the year, an event or two, to bring our homeowners together and sort of foster the community that we have.
And sometimes just the whole process, I think, of buying a home can be pretty daunting. So I imagine that kind of community support across, you know, with other folks who are going through something similar is just pretty valuable.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Just for example, last fall we did a series of classes focused on community resilience. So we taught things ranging from, you know, home solar, residential electric systems to permaculture design. So we really try and have a fairly broad range to our programming, and not just housing, but that's sort of, housing is definitely the core of what we do.
Lisa Fiala, I want to come back to you. You know, we talked about this earlier. You've talked about many of your housing choices, it sounds like, have been made in a way that again kind of invokes a communitarian spirit, or anyway, it's just an ethos of, you know, realizing that the choices you make are going to have an effect in terms of you know, the larger picture of the community, your footprint on the community. Anyway, I may be putting words in your mouth, but my sense is that this is maybe something that resonates with the whole set of values about the importance of choosing a home in a way that also is reflective of community. Does that make sense?
It definitely makes sense. Absolutely. The part of the reason why we decided to go with the land trust is that sustainability factor of community, knowing that the property that we're living on, if we decide to leave and after we're gone, we'll still be there and we'll still be affordable for all families and still be able to be a part of that larger community within Madison. It's just, again, a great way to look at a different type of housing instead of, you know, to remain a part of a community.
Andy's observed this, but did you also feel that this is sort of Madison resonant, just in terms of the green movement here, a lot of other things that have that same kind of spirit behind them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel that this is more and more people that we talk to when we talk about the land trust definitely agree with the foundation of why we've decided to choose this for our housing options.
If we could maybe just bring up possible misconceptions or questions people have. I think one I've heard raised is resale value. Are there factors that are different, and are there things that mitigate, you know, within that?
Yeah, I think anytime, you know, you buy a home, you're subject to the ups and downs of the market. Yeah.
Are there circumstances, given that the land's not involved, that mean appreciation of the house maybe isn't as great, or other things? I mean, someone was explaining this to me, when maybe I'm off base here, but I think it's a little bit different, isn't it, than the conventional housing that you buy the land as well?
Yeah, because of it's, you know, it's part of a model that is really designed to preserve the affordability. It's not a, you know, a get rich kind of scheme, and it's really, the wealth stays in the community and stays with the home, so that it's affordable for the next buyer. So we do allow, you know, our homeowners do collect all the equity that they build up. So all of the mortgage that they pay down, they collect that, plus then a portion of the appreciation.
Just as you were pointing out earlier, it sounds like but because you're not buying land, because anyway, there are things that compensate. If there's a little less equity, then it compensates on the end of making it more affordable in the first place. I don't know, Lisa, do you have any thoughts on that?
That's exactly what I was thinking. I mean, because we didn't need to purchase the property outright, it definitely made it more affordable for me and my family to be able to be in this type of housing situation.
Okay. So, any other thoughts, or
Yeah, certainly people can be in touch with me if they're interested in purchasing a home through us.
Let's mention the website.
Yeah, our website is affordablehome.org, and my phone number is 280-0131. And again, we do have funding in 2013 to acquire three houses. So it's a significant subsidy that we can bring to the project to lower the purchase price by anywhere from $30,000 to $45,000 per property. So it's a good chunk of money.
Affordablehome.org, is that right?
Yep.
You guys were really lucky to snag that one.
Yeah, that's good thinking. Yeah.
Just one more time before we finish out. Again, someone's expectation, they make that call. Is there an intake process? Is, you know, what lies ahead for them in the immediate?
Yeah, generally I like to schedule an in-person orientation with folks just to make sure that they understand all the ins and outs of owning a land trust home. Then we have an application process where people submit, you know, income and asset information, a little bit of housing and rental history. So we just make sure that your income is within our program limits. And at that point, before you purchase a home, we do require that you meet with an independent attorney, just so you can, so our buyers can understand it's a little bit different model of home ownership. So mm-hmm. we just want to make sure people have a chance to review things with an independent attorney. So that's a sort of a brief overview of the process.
You've alluded to this before, but there are perhaps some people that maybe assume, because of advice they've gotten in other contexts or things, that they weren't necessarily eligible or wasn't practical for them to be homeowners. The process that you're describing is one that walks people through that, helps them figure out if they are or not, but and sometimes helps them to make it adaptations that allow them to come into that. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. The land trust is there really every step of the way to help you, you know, fight from getting a loan, if you have credit issues or anything that you need to do to sort of adjust your financial situation, we can help you work with that. And if now isn't